Welcome to Braided, helping you balance tradition in an untraditional world. This is a show where we gather and talk about all things faith, family, and business. I'm so glad you joined us. Hi, you guys. Let me check audio. So here's my cord again. I've messed with it a good portion of the morning, so I'm finally just returning it. But let me make sure that my audio is working. Okay, really excuse the mess because we're trying to rearrange my office and get everything put away for the fall, and now we're getting ready soon into what? Couple of weeks to get rid of our Christmas things, or not get rid, but store it. Just my office is a madhouse right now, so please excuse that. I wonder if I can share my screen here. I actually want to give you guys, because while I was waiting for 10:15 to come live, I was actually going through the Radiant Revolution Mastermind. And so I am a resident expert for Ashley, who she is the founder of Radiant Revolution Mastermind. And so what Radiant Revolution Mastermind is, it's a platform, kind of like a membership for people who, for women who are entrepreneurs. And so it's phenomenal. Like I reached out to her after listening to one of her podcasts. We connected, we got to chatting, and then she asked me to be a resident expert. And so I, in her membership, it's such an honor. She allows me to speak into her audience and her members and share about faith, family, business, you know, braided stuff. But I talk a lot about marriage in there. So anyway, I'm going to see if I can share my screen because as I was going through it, I was like, some of the girls need to be in this because I know a lot of y'all are entrepreneurs in this group. So let me see if I can share my screen here. Hold on. I don't normally do this. Hold on. I don't normally do this on StreamYard, but I really want to show you guys. Okay. So I think I'm sharing my screen. Okay. Hopefully y'all can see this. But it's got some really neat things right now. I was just going through her monthly event calendar and putting them on my calendar. So that way I don't miss anything. Here's resident expert stuff. So if you were to join, you could come and find Amy Wadlington is her health coach, and then IG Faith and Marriage. And so you could even come in here and find, I believe all of my workshops are in here. But she does monthly workshops that talk about vision, casting, God and money, Instagram reels. Right now I'm barely on SEO like a pro because I need a lot of SEO work. So I went through her brand voice workshop and it was amazing, you guys. Like, it's something that really made me, a lot of her points made me think about my brand because I don't necessarily focus on a brand when it comes to business. But with us starting Braided Work and that aspect of it, like the business aspect of it, I like realized I really need to think about brand, like budget branding. So anyway, it's just really good, like simple sales calls. So building consistency in your business and life. And so there's just a lot of neat things on here. And she's faith-based. She does Bible studies. She has some different little bonus courses, you know, Instagram mini course and things like that, a 4-day Esther Bible study. So I love how Ashley combines business and faith, you know. And so anyway, so I was going through that before I came live, and I was like, you know what, I'm really going to try to show the girls this because I think it's really neat. Okay, stop screen. So if you're interested in that, let me know. I have an affiliate link and I would be happy to share that with y'all. I'm in it. And so, and again, I'm a resident expert. And so I also teach in it. And yeah, you guys should join us. Like it's amazing. Ashley's amazing. She's actually in this group. Shout out to you, Ashley. Okay, you guys. So let's dive in. I hope y'all been having a wonderful weekend. I have kind of coffee, my favorite color is Christmas lights. I'll have to be blogging about that soon. This is actually an affiliate mug that I'll have to be blogging about soon. So you guys should be seeing that on my blog and maybe my Instagram. I'm not quite sure yet. Anyway, so I hope y'all have had a wonderful weekend. It's been a really joyful weekend for us, you guys, so much. Oh, God has just been really amazing. And just this weekend, he really showed out for us. And so it's been a joyful weekend. Honestly, this has just been an awesome, awesome Christmas season. And that feels really good to say because the previous Christmases have not been so bright. I mean, they have been bright because we do focus on the reason for the season in our home and in our family. And so that kept it bright and joyful. But God also allowed us to not only enjoy the spiritual fruit of what this season means, but he's allowed us to physically to really enjoy it and just has blessed us abundantly. It's been such a wonderful weekend. We did go look at Christmas lights because during the holiday season, that's my favorite color, Christmas lights. Okay, so I tried something new in my coffee and it's not working. So I normally drink just black coffee, but I don't know, just here lately, I haven't been able to, and I have been cutting back on coffee, but anyway, well, the creamers, I just don't like the taste of like the creamers that you can get at the grocery store. So if any of y'all know of a good creamer, not the like candy creamer, I don't know if that makes sense. Like I have some pumpkin pie creamer, which is, it's okay, but it hasn't been setting well with me lately. So anyway, I'm not just drinking dark coffee right now. I just can't right now. And so I tried just milk and honey because I actually do normally will put honey in my coffee. And that didn't taste good. So I dropped some chocolate chips. I saw just chocolate chips on the counter. So I was like, let me try that. Made it worse. So I don't know. I think I'm just going to have to give up on coffee for a little bit because it's just not working for me. Anyway, so when you hop on, say hello, let me know what's in your coffee mug this morning, and let's just dive in. So today we are on day 14. See the story. Today's reading, Luke 14. Other passages to ponder. Be still and know, recognize, understand that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Psalm 46:10. Trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him. And he will make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. I wonder how many situations that we would call disappointments, hassles, and setbacks might actually be the loving hand of God trying to slow us down for the sake of our souls and so that we might receive him. John Eldridge. I'd waited years for my perfect Christmas holiday. I thought there was such a thing. It's terrifically cliche, I know. I peeked into the living room where my husband worked to assemble our new and sizable Christmas tree, handed down from Kev's parents, only to find him perplexed and unsettled. Apparently, during his spring cleaning the previous year, he accidentally disposed of half of our good tree and most of our Charlie Brown excuse for a tree, leaving him with less than two halves of two very different trees. At least last year I had a tree. Kev pulled out his tools and extension cords and went to work. The living room looked like a construction zone. I didn't get to have my family Christmas decorating day like I'd hoped. I kissed the top of my hardworking husband's head, put the kids to bed, and went to bed myself. I awoke a few hours later to find the other side of the bed empty. I went out into the living room and found my dear husband seated on the floor. He held the Christmas light remote like it was a Christmas miracle and stared up at the best Christmas tree we'd ever had. I crawled into his lap and marveled at what transpired in just a few short hours. This was our tree. Through the mess and the mishap emerged a gift I'd not soon forget. So much had gone wrong in our lives, sickness, medical, debt, and one deferred hope after another. Yet through it all, God was up to something good, building something beautiful in our lives, something I could not see through the mess. I wanted relief. God was after the total redemption of our story. We don't often like God's ways. He seems content to be misunderstood. He's willing to take us on a journey that makes no sense to us. For instance, when it came time for Jesus's grand entrance into the world, why was it through the womb of a teenage girl? Why was he born into poverty? Why would he create a virgin birth knowing many would consider this story scandalous and find it more offensive than inviting? Why was there no room in the inn for the Savior of the world? Surely this wasn't a detail that escaped his notice. God's chosen people were painfully oppressed by the Romans, and they longed for and looked for the prophesied king who would finally deliver them and acknowledge them as God's chosen people. Yet it would be years before they understood that Jesus came to see their very souls free, not just their nation. Why does it seem that God so often does things the hard way? Have you noticed that he sometimes answers our prayers one slow, small detail at a time? He helps us to gain ground, but more often than not, only by inches at a time. But given the fact that he's infinitely loving and wise, he's a really good father who gives good gifts to his children. There must be a reason he allows such trials, mysteries, and delays to coexist with his goodness. The king of the universe, the one who spoke the galaxies into existence, it actually after something much deeper in us than our finite minds can conceive. And he's always up to something we cannot fully discern, something we may not see the value of now, but we will later. Our God came to earth through the womb of a teenage girl to show the world his heart for the least and the lowliest by the world's standards. He knew full well that what he was doing through it may take us our lifetime to fully comprehend it. God is in the process of conforming us to the image of his dear son. He's teaching us to grow comfortable with mystery. There will be some things we just can't explain. Formulas that don't work, outcomes that make no sense in the moment, and he asks us to trust him, to be tethered to his goodness no matter how much our temporary seasons shake us. Our process of transformation comes not from the path of ease, but from uphill climbs, raging storms, and enemy opposition. It comes from engaging our faith when our circumstances speak a contrary message. It comes from continual interaction with our Father, just as Jesus modeled for us. God guides and provides, corrects and directs. He humbles us and he helps us. We need him every hour. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than yours, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Isaiah 55:8-9. The Pharisees invited Jesus to dinner in hopes of trapping him into saying something that would condemn him. Jesus offered more than words. He healed a man before their very eyes. On the Sabbath, think higher, see deeper. People postured for the honorable positions at the table. Jesus cautioned them against thinking more highly of themselves than they ought. Better to be humble and let God promote you than to self-promote and be humbled by God. While they postured to honor themselves, Jesus told them to honor those the world discards. Think higher, see deeper. He spoke of the inconvenient cost of following him. Family members may not like it. People may judge you the way they judged him. Think higher, see deeper. When you set out to be a serious follower of Christ, you'll find 1,000 excuses to tend to temporary things like they're the most important things in the world. But eternal rewards come from eternal priorities. Think higher, see deeper. Over and over again, Jesus urged people to open their eyes and see the coming kingdom. See the story God is writing on the earth through his son. You may be walking through a difficult season right now. Lift your gaze. God is up to something good and you can trust him. One day, your eyes will see it. You may be so busy with the temporary that you've lost sight of the eternal. Today is a good day to push pause, step back, and think eternity. Your current season is packed with eternal possibilities. You may be on the receiving end of a ridicule because of your sincere faith. You are not alone. Rejoice. Great is your reward in heaven. Think higher, see deeper. Prepare him room. Jesus, help me to see what you're up to in my midst. I don't want to be so bent on getting my way that I miss your way. What do you want to say to me here? Give me eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to do your will. I know you're writing an incredible story on the earth today. I want to step into my part and live it with holy conviction and passion. You're making something wonderful out of me, and I embrace the process. I trust you, Lord. Amen. Look up. Fast from making premature assessments about your story. If your story is not good yet, it's because God is not done yet. Step back from your circumstances and ask God for a fresh revelation of who he is and how he is. Ask God to show you if your priorities are out of order. Rest in the reality that God's ways are higher than your ways and his ways are good. That is so good, you guys. And it actually goes very well with what I was just talking about, how we have had really, I don't want to say bad years, because we always have something really good in our years, and we always have good years. But most years have had a loss or a setback, maybe not even a setback, but just, I guess maybe loss. You know, last year was a big loss. We lost my dad. When we were in Portland, we lost a lot of loved ones between both Darren and I and our families. And then of course, throughout our journey of growing our family, we've had losses throughout the years with that. And where there have been moments where we look back and we're like, why, you know, or maybe not even why, but just what do we need to do to make it better, you know? And the only thing Darren and I have known to do is to seek first the kingdom of God. And so that's what we have been doing. And with that being said, like she said on day 14, is God's always working something. He's always working in the background of our lives because he loves us. And what may seem like setbacks to us or where maybe he's even against us. I mean, I've talked to so many people where they're like, why is God against me? Why doesn't he love me? And so I know that that sometimes happens whenever life is happening. There can be questions of that. And I want to rest assure your sweet, precious mind today that God is not against you. He loves you. The enemy is against you, but God will use whatever the enemy thinks is going to harm you for his glory. You just have to lean into him. You have to receive him, and you have to accept his will and his way in your life. And don't focus on what should have been, what could have been, or what you think needs to be. Because I also know that sometimes what we think something or our way we think something should go, when it doesn't, we can get frustrated and it can, just cause us to feel upset or sad or depressed or what, you know, whatever it is. And so when you focus, seek first the kingdom of God, all things will fall into place for you. That's just how it works. And I am a testament to that. Darren and I are a testament to that. Our marriage, our family, little family is a testament to that, because we make it a priority to seek first the kingdom of God, no matter what's happening in life, whether it's a joyful moment or mourning moments, we seek first the kingdom of God. And that is what I am encouraging you to do today, and know that he is with you. He loves you. He delights in you. Really, if you can just wrap your mind around that truth, that he delights in you. When you're walking in life, when you're just doing even the little things, he delights in you. So just imagine a father looking down at you, delighting in you and loving you and caring for you. That, because that's who he is. When we receive him and when we receive who he is in our lives, that's what we get from him. So very, very good day 14. And I love the things she's talking about in this Advent study. I mean, and she brings it all back to Jesus. But these are real life things. And so I'm so thankful that she is bringing them up and that she is bringing them in into light, because it does show us the glory of our Father. Okay, so day 15, Jesus pursues the wanderer. Today's reading, Luke 15. Other passages to ponder. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. Ezekiel 34:11. All of us must die eventually. Our lives are like water spilled out on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. But God does not just sweep life away. Instead, he devises ways to bring us back when we have been separated from him. 2 Samuel 14:14. In our world, too, a stable once had something inside it that was bigger than our whole world, C.S. Lewis. By the way, there is a new, I guess it's kind of a documentary. It is a documentary on C.S. Lewis, but it's really good. But I think it just came out, but Darren and I watched it this past week, and it is so good, you guys. Like, there were so many things that I did not realize he went through. I knew that he was an atheist, but I didn't realize to the extent that he fought to believe in God until he finally just had to admit it. God exists and his love exists, and with that, evil also exists. But great documentary. I encourage any of y'all to go watch that. I can't remember what it's on. Maybe Hulu. I honestly don't remember what that was on. But what I do when I'm looking for something that to see where it's streaming is I would just type in, maybe C.S. Lewis documentary streaming, and something would pop up for you. So for many believers, Christmas time stirs up both angst and anticipation. On one hand, we love preparing for our holiday gatherings, imagining our families together once again, and yet on the other hand, Those gatherings can be painful reminders of how lost some of our loved ones are. We get a close-up look at their lives. We hear unbiblical perspectives spill out of their mouths, and our hearts quietly sink in despair. We keep smiling, keep serving, but secretly we wonder if God will ever open their eyes and capture their hearts. That's why Luke chapter 15 is such a gift to us this season. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And you know what? He continues to seek and save the lost. Right now, he's pursuing your lost loved ones with a loving clarity and compassion that far outweighs your own. In this chapter, Jesus uses three different scenarios to convey his passionate heart for those who've lost their way. Let's look at the story. One day, the Pharisees complained that Jesus ate with filthy people like tax collectors and known sinners, people who purposely did things they knew they shouldn't. Jesus even had the audacity to share a meal with them. I love that Jesus didn't suddenly become self-conscious, like he was caught in the act of wondering himself. No, Jesus knew who he was, where he was, and what he was doing there. With tender strength, Jesus looked at the Pharisees and painted three descriptive word pictures for them. He first told the story about a shepherd who owned 100 sheep. One of the sheep wandered off and got lost. What did the shepherd do? He left the 99 and journeyed high and low to find the one. When the shepherd found the lost sheep stuck in the thicket, he ran to the sheep, helped him get unstuck, and then put the frightened sheep over his shoulders and joyfully carried him back to the fold. And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. Luke 15:5. Next, Jesus offered the Pharisees a different analogy to further illustrate his priorities and passion. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, "Rejoice with me because I have." Okay, guys, I hope y'all can see me, hear me. It was showing my mic had unplugged, and it's just these cords are crazy. So I'm going to hop on YouTube and just make sure that you guys are hearing me. I'm so sorry. Hopefully I can get this sorted out with the cords and whatnot. Okay, perfect. So let me move along. Sorry, the audio might be a little bit worse now. I don't know. Palestine women often received silver coins as a wedding gift, which made the coins especially valuable to her. I love that Jesus used this analogy. A woman with a wedding gift, her prized possession. These coins represented her wedding, her marriage, and gifts from loved ones. The coins weren't just valuable in the practical sense. They represented union, celebration, and love. We are the bride of Christ. We were the joy set before Jesus that helped him endure the cross and defeat its shame. Imagine that. Jesus, all bloodied and battered, heaving that heavy cross down a rough road to the taunts and jeers of clueless onlookers. Yet he still had joy in his heart. He had you in his heart. He had your lost loved ones in his heart. And in the midst of the worst circumstances imaginable, it brought him great joy to preserve for the sake of those who would one day turn to him. Unfathomable, no? Before we move to Jesus's third illustration, it's important to note that the first two analogies only go so far. They reveal God's passion for the one who has lost his or her way. But here's where the analogies break down. The shepherd didn't know where the sheep had gone. The woman had no idea how or where her coin had been misplaced. When we or our loved ones are lost, it's not easy to say that Jesus doesn't know where we went. We may have lost our way, but Jesus always knows where we are. We can never escape his notice. He knows everything about us. When we stand up and when we sit down, He even knows what we're going to say before we say it. Oh Lord, You have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place Your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. Psalm 139, 1 through 6. Jesus used these illustrations to show that the wandering heart is never far from His heart. He seeks the lost because they don't know they're lost. It's the sick that need a doctor, not those who are convinced they are well. In pursuit of those He loves, Jesus orchestrates situations that bring truth and revelation to their hearts. He puts the right person in the right place at the right time. His Holy Spirit whispers truth at a moment of vulnerability. His warring angels intervene on enemy schemes to give the person a chance to repent. As a radio host, I've heard countless stories from Christian leaders who've shared about their wandering ways. One man was at a party with a drink in his hand when he heard the whisper, "Is this really how you want to live? I have better plans for you." He put down his drink, walked away from the party lifestyle, and came running back to God. Which brings us to Jesus' third illustration for the Pharisees, the prodigal son story. In the first two illustrations, the owner searches fervently for the lost. In this illustration, the father waits expectantly for his return. Both ideas represent the father's heart. He's both pursuing those who wander and waiting expectantly for their return. He doesn't force his way on us. He works and he waits while we go a longer way. In all three scenarios, Jesus makes a point to describe the party in heaven when one lost soul repents and turns to Jesus. Picture confetti, cheers, celebration, and feasts, all for the one. Every heart matters to Jesus. That's why He came, why He lived, why He endured a torturous death, and why He blew the doors off the grave, to make a way for us to spend forever with Him in eternity. What if we pursued the lost as fervently waited as expectantly, and celebrated as wildly as the angels in heaven? Be of good cheer this season. Jesus is on a rescue mission. He will search out the nooks and crannies of this world to shepherd His children back to His heart. Prepare Him room. Precious Jesus, thank You for how You relentlessly pursue the wandering heart. You carry the world on Your shoulders and my loved ones in Your heart. I can't save them, but You can. Draw them by the power of Your Spirit back to You, back to us. Move miraculously in their lives that they may know that there's a God in heaven who knows their name and loves them deeply. In the meantime, I'll celebrate the gifts in front of me, so much for which to be grateful. I'll start there. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Look up. Fast from angst, worry, and despair over your lost loved ones. Release them to God and trust Him to work in ways you cannot imagine. Celebrate the small victories you see. Don't minimize, don't yeah, but, and don't miss the fact that God is moving even now. Ask Him to open your eyes to see it. Perfect, perfect reading for this season as we get ready to gather with family and maybe even friends or, you know, just people in our lives who we feel, and I want to stress that we feel aren't saved. And I say that because I just like there can be false prophets, people that kind of pull the wool over our eyes, and we think that they're at a certain level in their walk and their relationship with God, but really they're kind of working for the enemy. Just like that can happen, I know also that there are people who are genuinely chasing after Jesus, but maybe you don't know it because they're not broadcasting it, or that maybe they're even working through some things, but they're still chasing after God, or you know what I mean? Or you think they're not saved because they're not going to church, you know, every Sunday and to every event, or you know, whatever it is. We tend to judge people ourselves, right? I mean, it's a sadly human response that we have to work through. And so when I say that, I that's why I want to say that very carefully, you know, as we get ready to be around maybe family and friends who aren't saved, that God is working. And and in order for you to be a light to that person, you have to make sure that you're walking with the Lord, that, you know, watching your intentions and your heart posture, and focusing on your relationship with the Lord, and not so much focusing on the lost, you know. And I say, I'm putting that in air quotes, because again, sometimes we think somebody might be lost, but they're maybe not. They're just working through things or something. So anyway, with all of that being said, stop the judging and just love. It's God's job to water and to save people. It's our job to love and plant seeds. And even if somebody is like walking with the Lord and they know Christ and they're at, you know, just, they love Jesus, you know, they love Jesus, you see it all over them, they talk about Jesus. We can still plant seeds to them, and vice versa, they can plant seeds in our lives. And that's what it's about. Iron sharpens iron, right? And so we continue to grow and help one another. And so my whole point to all of that is just be the light. Just love God. Know that He is with you, that He loves you, and that He loves your fellow man, and work on your relationship with Him. Spend that quiet time with Him. Work on you growing with Him, and those other things will follow. You'll set an example and you'll be the light for the people around you, whether they're saved or not saved. So I hope y'all have a wonderful Sunday. We are, I believe, staying home the rest of the day. We got out a lot this weekend, and we're going to finish wrapping presents. I believe we're all done shopping. I think I might need a couple more, but for the most part, we're done. So we're going to wrap presents, hopefully in front of a fire, because it's so cold outside. And just kind of enjoy the last Sunday before Christmas is over. So sad, you guys. It just went by so fast. I always get sad when the season's over. But I will see you guys. I'm going to try my hardest to come on here every day and double up, because we're in the last week of the study. So I will talk to you guys later. Have a wonderful Sunday and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode. Please visit us at www.braided.faith and find us on all social media platforms under Crystal Addis or Braided Faith. We look forward to connecting with you.